from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hope everybody's having a pleasant Tuesday so far. Oh, last night I was on edge. I was locked in. So was my son. We watched every single minute. Yep. Of the Grizzlies Summer League Final. And you have to say, what a game.
Ooh, it was fun.
I don't remember ever feeling that locked in, feeling like, you know, that this is important.
Right.
About a summer league game, and really, I mean, the Grizzlies have won titles before, obviously in 2019. This would have been their third. Didn't get it because it had championship on it. Yes, summer league, but because it had championship on it, my son, he took it hard. We didn't get game MVP. You know, we thought that we were talking all night whether it was going to be Scottie Pippen Jr. or Gigi Jackson for game MVP. We felt it. It was taken away from us. Pell. Or is it Pella?
You think it's Pella, yeah. Pella Larson.
I've seen it spelled a couple different ways.
Mm-hmm.
With the E or the A. And you know what? You know what hurt the most? Is he did it against our MVP.
Mm-hmm.
He big boyed Scottie Pippen Jr. for that last basket. Overtime.
Yep. Larson with Larsa in the building.
Oh, no.
I had pointed him out to you yesterday, said you like him. You said that's only because he's white. You think I like him.
I like him
a lot. Do you like
more.
Him more now?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, no.
Now, he was fouling early.
Yeah, he was.
He's a hacker.
Yeah, he was.
But he likes to D up, and he ends up getting the shot to beat the Grizzlies. Should it have mattered as much to us as it felt like it
No,
did?
It was embarrassing
Are
for everybody involved.
That we were that locked into a summer league title?
If we really were, yes.
I had to explain that to Chris. Like, bro, you realize.
Hey, the Grizzlies, the Grizzlies were locked in.
This is not big in the grand scheme of things. I'd explain that
yeah.
to him. But it's because we haven't won
anything. That's why.
That's the mindset.
But it's actually, I'm going to say this. The Grizzlies set that tone. The Grizzlies set that tone, bro.
Here you go. Don't go here with me.
No.
Now, you were making me angry with this last night. You couldn't sense how angry I was over the text.
Them folks went so hard for that championship yesterday. Them folks actually sent LaRavia home and brought his ass back for the championship.
John was mad they activated LaRavia.
Bro, them folks actually.
They said they're going hard for this.
They
didn't like that.
Bro, they were about to put Edie in there in overtime. They were like,
stop.
we got a jersey back there. Can he take the Carhartt jacket off?
I told you yesterday they would go hard.
And they did. And, bro, everybody played 40 minutes. Their starters played 40 minutes. Now, I got to say, it's an additional level of embarrassing when the organization is that committed to winning the Summer League Championship, and then they lose the damn thing.
Stop.
The Heat sat multiple guys, bro.
Bro.
Jaime Jaquez didn't play. If Jaime Jaquez had played, whoop.
You act like, what's our boy's name? Arizona State. You act like he wasn't a first-round pick 3 years ago. They
he's
got a first-round pick
he's
out there.
Yeah, no, that's true. But he's not a part of the organization, though. He's like
My main pushback to all of this is none of these guys right now are proven rotation players except for Zach Edey, who is sitting out.
I mean, and so who cares?
Okay,
if
all right.
You're going hard, because most of these guys aren't. They got to earn their way in. Gigi Jackson, you might say, is the one that maybe is in right now and could, you know, maybe get past, maybe not. Could maybe move up to starter, maybe not. Whatever, we'd have that conversation. But that's the thing, is that these guys, none of them are starters except for Zach Edey.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're out there running them and you want to win the summer league title, and yet means something to 19-year-old Gigi Jackson to win it, and Scottie Pippen Jr. clearly cared. Man, go for it. It hurt that we lost it. I'm gonna tell you this right now. They had the wrong MVP
of the summer league.
No, of the game.
Oh,
yeah,
the game.
Well, of both, because they took a second team dude,
Jalen Wilson, for the
summer league.
I saw that
MVP didn't make any sense,
weird.
And they interviewed him during our game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but then it should have been Alondis.
Yeah, Christopher hit the biggest shot, but Alondis hit more.
Josh Christopher gets MVP is the wrong MVP
because he hit that three.
I thought he was gonna turn around and give it to Alondis. Man.
Yeah, he should have. But now you're right. I mean, I'll give you that.
How has that dude only played 8 NBA games?
I don't know.
He's a big boy playmaker.
Yeah.
And then was making plays on defense, hitting big shots.
Yeah.
What is there not to like about Alondis? He was a revelation.
Let it fly client, Alondis Williams.
Played with Laravia at Wake Forest.
Yes.
I hadn't realized that was the best player on that team.
Yes. No, I'm not sure. There's got to be a situation somewhere like Washington or something, at least, where he could get some run, you know? Probably not Miami, but.
Revelation.
Yeah, no, listen. It was a devastating night last night for.
Everybody just calm down.
You were watching the game with your son, and he's all in, you know? And
I did feel guilty about the investment after the L.
Right.
You put all that into it, you go to overtime.
Yeah.
You said, we're going to get it.
Well, because Laravia apparently also came out with an injury.
He did.
It looked like
he tweaked his knee, and he went back in.
He said, I'm tired, Grandpa. And they said, get your ass back in there!
Dude,
we're going to go for it all!
Stop. He was standing up the whole time he was out.
Because
that's
Grandpa.
When your Frenchman airballed. He was standing up the whole time he was out. He wanted back in.
Right.
And nobody had to tell Laravia.
That's too damn bad!
I don't understand why you have a problem with these guys going hard.
They went for it.
They got the rings.
They lost.
Were the rings new, or is this a second or third year thing? I don't remember them in 19.
I don't think they're new.
We didn't get rings in 19. Did Brandon Clark get a ring? It felt new. The guys wanted the rings, and I know 19-year-old Gigi Jackson wanted that ring.
I'm tired, Grandpa. Don't matter, Jake. That's too damn bad. And they ran him into the ground, bro. Damn. I mean, I just don't understand. I just don't understand why you shut him down, then you reactivate him, then you shut him down again.
Was Laravia, I know Cam and Edey were officially shut down. Was Laravia in that group that was a foul? I don't think, was he in that group that was officially shut down?
He missed multiple games,
yeah,
right?
He missed a couple of games before, I think.
There was no official.
Yeah, I don't think he was officially in that group.
Assuming after he sits that one, I can't remember which one it was, but once he sits that last one, you're like, he's probably not going to play again. And then, there he is in the play.
They got Josh Christopher out there. Taking half quarters. They wanted to win.
It's too good, man. It's too good. I faded the piss out of the Grizzlies yesterday.
And then again, anybody listening to this conversation probably figured that out earlier.
It was a piss missile. It was a Heat plus 3.
That's the other reason we were locked in, because John had Miami in 2.5. I told Chris, this freaking traitor.
Bang! I'm
supposed to work with this dude every day.
With all due respect, I was tired.
About the money, though.
I was tired of watching Scottie Pippen bully. All right, I was tired of watching him bully.
But here's my issue with that, and we got a lot to get it.
We ain't got nothing.
On the show today. Well, the NFL's starting, but you come here on the show yesterday when we thought it was in cap or no cap, and you say I ain't got no feel on this.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah.
But by the time it's game time and it rolls around. Oh, you're all in.
Once I saw
Miami in the
points. I saw they started Laravia, I said I'm betting the Heat. They don't deserve this. They don't deserve to win this.
So, again, it's based in hate. The bet was based in hate.
They were just so
that
committed.
The Grizz were going hard.
They were just like,
I have a problem with you having a problem with these Grizzlies going hard for summer league time.
It's like,
that's
just
the wrong
thing. It's just
take.
Like the organizational commitment, right? Like,
bro,
like, we're gonna get the summer league championship.
We like summer league titles around here.
We don't care about those. We're past that.
Just don't act like you've broken off, like you've won something and the rest of us haven't.
No, look.
You're still the same Memphis, bro. You ain't won anything either.
I'm a member of the Miami Heat. I'm a Miami Heat Summer League champ, bro. Like, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I know that makes a lot of people upset around here. You know, we got guys out there like Pella Larson, Josh Christopher. A lot of Khalil Ware was given. Trey Jemison, the Blues. He was.
Yeah, Trey didn't fare well yesterday.
Trey had a horrible day.
And that hurt us.
And for anybody that says he should be the backup, watch film of a game against
how
a real
many,
big.
There can't be but two people saying that.
You got Man-Man.
They're quiet.
Man-Man, and then for the Grizz, you got Night-Night. That's Trey Jemison's time with the Grizzlies as far as a backup big is concerned. So, again, these are all things that you sort of pick up.
Can't win with them.
Can't win with them, dog.
And coach them.
No.
Whatever secretary says.
Look, it was a good run for the Memphis Grizzlies, no question about it. Here's what I would say.
Dude, March set the tone. Did you see? You got a problem with him, too? Did you see him in the huddle?
Yes.
It's like, we've been here before.
Yes, bro.
We faced adversity.
Like, it's not that
so
serious.
That's what I'm, but you blaming serious. The players. That's
no,
the organization putting. That's what I'm saying.
Organizational commitment.
Again, you got Zach. It's their kids, basically, and the ones who ain't going to be on the team. So, of course, you're going to say, go forward. Nobody. You're not risking a thing except for Zach Edey. He's the one guy that's a starter.
I guess I would have said, like, okay, Scottie Pippen is a consideration for backup.
Dude, he will be on two-way to start this season,
LaRavia,
and you already know with Derrick Rose intending to start the year to start the year as Jaws backup.
Every time y'all talk about Derrick Rose, y'all try to waive him. So I don't know where I stand.
I got no problem with him getting this free money. Chris Harrington.
Okay, but
make sure you get it right.
I know, but
I think everybody else is fine.
You have started to sort of
free check
sneak this. I mean, you have
anything he can do for Ja is good. I want him around Ja all the time. The kids playing for Ja's team, we're family.
Right.
We want to keep that.
Yes.
We're fine. Udonis, bro. That's what he is for us.
Yeah, I was going back and forth with somebody on Twitter
a
couple weeks ago.
No problem with that.
They're like, we just need like a veteran presence on the bench, you know? I'm like, dude, you got Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
He's
been through some
the things. Derrick Rose erasure. I mean, that's as much as why he was brought here as anything else, right? But all y'all want to do is cut him. All y'all want to do is wave him.
I want that around Ja as long, you know, for the rest of this year.
That's a Memphis legend. Y'all trying to get rid of?
I think he's going
to
retire after this year, though. You're going to have to come to grips with it.
I'm okay with that.
Because he's not going to play more than 12.
No, but he's really not. He's here to help Ja meditate.
100%.
You know, that's what he's here to do.
Again, I'm with it.
Yeah, so I just thought, I guess maybe I thought LaRavia was more of a rotation guy than you do.
No. He'll have to. What are you talking about? He could work his way in because of the shooting, but I highly doubt it.
No, you're
not. He ain't getting any higher than, what, 9, 8?
Right.
I mean, if you're going to have Kennard re-signed, for sure.
It's just that there are so many third-year guys out there, right? You're just like, okay, probably, like, there shouldn't be this many third-year guys on one summer league team.
Who all didn't – we're spending too much time on
Miami. No, it's the most important story of the day. Miami sat who? They did set
the one guy that had been good. But how many – you're acting like they sat a ton of guys. They didn't.
No,
they had third-year – first round bust, Josh Christopher out there. They had their boy Ware, who looked good, by the way.
Yes,
they said his motor was the question previously.
Cole Swider they had out there, who had a big three.
Did Wiseman see Ware at Oregon, or am I off of my
No, years? That was Dante.
It's in Folly Dante.
Yeah.
What am I thinking? That's way off on
that. Yeah. So here's who the Heat set. Keshawn Johnson, who was hurt. And obviously, Hawkins has not been with the team since the first two games. So, and that he was only going to play two games the whole time.
Just, what a summer league.
But, yeah.
We learned so much.
Yeah, we did.
And the best thing was
Edey. What happened to our Mount Moriah guy? He just kind of fell out of the face of the earth.
Are you talking about Lil Active? Isaiah?
No. Remember the guy who with the dread? Like, he's got like the...
Oh, yeah, that was early. Did he make it past Utah? I don't know.
Oh, okay,
I didn't see as many of the Vegas games as I did.
Okay, he's listed on the roster as a DNP. But I'm just, maybe he – like, see, that's the guy I want to see more of, right?
I want to see DJ Jeffries unlocked.
Right.
We didn't get that.
Like, we got – you know what I'm saying? We got
to
go.
Because we wanted to win.
Exactly.
That's one that I will give you that one. Because we wanted to win so badly, they couldn't give DJ any run.
I mean, they only played –
that was disappointing.
They only played six guys, really, yesterday, bro.
Just calm down about it.
I mean, it's pretty incredible.
This guy wins two bucks. I told you so.
They were on like a –
they went for it too hard.
They were on like a Coach Cal 2008 title run rotation.
Bro, March set the tone. Yes. We were trying to get it. Look, and we had the real MVP in Scottie Pippen Jr. for the entire league.
36 minutes. GG, 37 minutes.
Dude, every time Scottie came off the floor, I was like, you got to put him back in.
Right. He had all y'all going.
We just fall apart. GG with the step throughs. They couldn't stop him. It felt important. And you're not going to take that away from
us. But what I will say is it was a fantastic game. Yeah, it was a
fantastic game. How could you not appreciate that? And it's because they wanted to win.
Yes.
Both teams. That you got a quality summer league game that I don't think I've ever been as locked into one.
It's funny, in the radio play-by-play, they had an announcement, too. You know, you had the whole rollout. It was very serious, John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scottie Pippen Jr., number one, Vanderbilt University, 6'2", 188 pounds.
Now, why do we do it with the Y?
I don't know. It's because I thought you can't
to separate himself.
Oh, I see.
Did they not have like a?
Has there ever been an answer to that?
No.
Okay.
No.
I was just.
Oh, sir, they're different. I didn't even know.
Just
because
the Y and the I.
You just schooled me. Yeah, I need to figure that out.
If it's just to separate himself from
Dad.
Just in his own way.
But he's a junior.
He's still a junior.
So I think it's kind of it's weird.
It's very weird.
Yeah. But we were on radio, we ran like that promo that was like
40 minutes away from history. One team.
And it's just like,
we got heavy with it. I mean, we were looking for content, John.
No, they added the rings to it.
Can't blame a brother.
Once you bring in the jewelry, all bets are off.
Bro, they had glass. I mean, there was a lot of stuff out there on that court.
And this is
official
Summer League basketball is all about.
Nobody there.
Shot making, defense, activity, a reverse windmill from Isaiah Miller.
Like, you ain't going to celebrate an in-season tournament run.
And the Elam ending.
What do we at call that? The cup?
It's the NBA cup. At least
John will be pouring champagne when we win that thing.
at least that
is still secondary.
Real basketball, that's right? Fun. Like, that's real guys that will be playing for the Grizzlies.
Well, because your king celebrated and poured champagne all of himself.
I don't
you
want
will
to
celebrate
win the NBA cup because you see what happens.
We're going
to
be in that
thing. Oh, yeah, maybe it's a gift. I was thinking that, John, like reversal.
You don't want to win the NBA cup because you get to, because the Lakers obviously disintegrated after that.
Yep.
But look, in terms of summer league, Jessica Bitts is going to join us at 11:25. Memphis football. The preseason AAC polls came out. We'll get to that. But in terms of, you know, the big takeaways, I think this is the most important one, and it's really the only one that matters, which is after an absolutely catastrophic game one in Salt Lake, GG Jackson went on to have a fantastic summer. He just did. He was 11 of 16 last night, 28 points, 9 rebounds.
Love the rebounding.
2 steals. He was 3 of 4 from 3.
The not settling for threes in the championship game.
He was efficient.
Going to the hole, the step through.
Yes.
It's hard to defend.
No question. He's huge. He's huge. And so I think, obviously, you know, I'm going to have my sort of own opinions about how hard they went for the title. But
yeah, set that to the side.
I'm going to set it to the side because got the luxury of doing that, having faded them 2 straight games and won. I mean, that's what I'm going to do, because I'm going to be the bigger person here. But GG Jackson, I was a little nervous. We came here, we talked about it, right? There was the Edie greatness, and then there was the concern over the 0 of 10 from 3 for GG. And pretty much he has not had a bad game since. I can't recall him having a bad game since that first one.
And he's 19, and he should have had a bad game since.
Right.
And it would have been fine to have another bad game or 2 more bad games.
Yep.
I mean, the kid, it's there for the kid. And I think you see the growth every time out. Now, again, he was shooting double-digit threes just the game before, and the semifinals probably selling too much. He's not a finished product. But every time out there, you see the kid growing. You see how badly he wants to learn again, not just to be a scorer. He knows he's got to be more of a playmaker, that was an issue coming in. He seems to know all the knocks against him and seems to have a willingness to want to attack those things. And obviously, there's with him, there's a will to win. You know, there's something in there that maybe you don't see necessarily jumping out of all players, but it's just all over him that is going to eventually get him into the rotation, probably into the starting lineup, whether that's sooner than, 2 years from now, this year, whatever it is. Like, that kid is going to make it, and it'll be interesting to watch how they keep him involved. Because he's so talented, you don't want a kid like that, playing a couple of G League games in a row. He's not in the rotation. He falls out. Confidence goes down because he's used to playing. He's on a trek now that looks like, okay, I'm on a rise. You don't want to lose that. But you also, you're in a win now proposition. And he's shown us, too, that he's still got teenager, decisions in terms of, when it comes to basketball with some of the shots he takes and everything else. He's not ready to be a key member of this rotation.
Right.
But, you know, you may be in a situation. I mean, it's a long season, 82 games. I expect G.G. Jackson's going to be out there at some point. How much do you feed him? How much do you develop him? You know, that's all. You got to keep him playing. You do.
Agreed.
But that's going to be hard to do, I feel like, when you've got so many guys that are ready to go in a win-now situation.
Agreed.
That are more proven. But he's a fun story. He's fun to have in sort of your back pocket to see what could possibly be unlocked. I'm not going to rule out G.G. Jackson could be contributing in a playoff game next year.
Very possible.
But I do not believe he will be starting the season as your three, whatever else. I mean, it's not time for that.
Correct.
You know, you invested in Marcus Smart. You want to see that thing play out.
Exactly.
And you got Vince.
But, I mean, again, I think that's the thing. You come away, whether they had won last night or lost last night.
I believe more in him.
Yeah, I'm proud of the way he bounced back.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know you were down after that first game big time. And again, I was trying to explain, this kid's 19, he's going to have some more. But he didn't have any more bad games, to your point.
Yeah.
Played pretty well the rest of the way.
I thought, the other thing, like, I thought Khalil Ware, like, he's going to be, like, a really good player.
Sure.
I mean, he's got, like, some, his nose around the basket, you know, sort of fits in perfectly with Miami.
He does, and you like what you see there. I'm going to tell you this. I like what I see from Jalen Wells. I like the many different ways he can get his shot off.
Yep.
And then when you see him take the shot, like last night late, he's got such a high release point, and he gets so high up in the air, he's going to be able to get that shot off in this league. You know, step backs, catch and shoot, off the dribble. Like, I saw a lot of it. And so I just thought, again, this is a guy who in the future could be a piece for you, especially with the way he's able to get off those long-range shots. I mean, him and Cam were great. Maybe it was Harrington, maybe it was Jeff, but you know, there's not a guy that you took in this draft, the three guys, that you come away from thinking, oh no, he's not going to make it. Even Cam, with the way he played, you think, okay, he's heady enough, maybe he can make it in this league, even though he lacks the athleticism. You feel good about all their picks, but particularly with Edie, with the time that he played.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. It looks a little unorthodox with Will sometimes, like, it's not the most fluid.
Dude,
but
I see why he rose so fast. I mean, he only played 1 year Division I.
Right.
But it's the way he can get that shot off and how big it makes him. You know, that he's there's a lot there offensively. I want to see what else he can do. That's going to be a development project.
No question. So, anyway, that's the summer. It's all a wrap, and now it'll be full speed ahead to training camp and preseason.
We don't need any more turned ankles for Zach Edey.
That too.
I would say, too, that we come away with a lot riding on him.
Exactly.
Clearly, knowing that.
Exactly.
With the way the roster is currently constructed.
Yep. So, anyway, good stuff there. Grizz fall short, but at any rate, they're still.
You won't even say good run because you thought they put too much in it. You can't even say it. It was a great run. It was a great game.
They didn't win the championship. It was a great run.
Scotty should have been MVP of the league of the summer league.
Scotty was going for that. He was trying to get that foul on every three. Man, he's a merchant. Man, I got to give it to him.
There was a little, but then you saw Pella flopping too.
Yeah, no, he's just responding right.
Trying to get those rings, baby.
Yeah.
It got him there at the end, though. He's just so small, and he got big. To Jason's point, he got big boyed. It was over once that dude got the ball in the paint.
But I will say, and he did, and that was the thing about it. He just put the mirror up to the guy you thought
he was either going to foul or make the shot.
But let's be real though, for most of the league, and again, this is a lower level, and Scotty's shown he's at a higher level than most of these guys. But for most of that league, you looked at him defensively, he was up in guys.
That's fair.
Now he got to be, you know, the size got him at the end with Pell, but. He was defensively. They were singling him out in terms of the effort level. It was pretty darn good for most of the summer league. But yeah, he got little boyed there at the end.
Yep,
it hurt a little bit, and I know it hurt him because, as John said, he put his heart and soul.
Yeah, he put everything into it.
John.
Yeah, like I mean, they really were.
That is Jaws' backup. That's him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Know that. Eventually, I mean, that's the guy. You know. John hates it, but it's the guy.
I don't hate it.
I think it's the Vandy in him that maybe you don't like.
I think it's just like,
I don't know what it is.
I think it's just
the why.
It's the try.
The Y on the end of the name instead of the IE.
It's not the why. It's the it's the try.
He is the son of one of my favorite players in NBA history.
Same.
Yeah, but it's not. Yeah, that's not him.
Unlike Bronny, there's something there.
Uh-huh.
He's an NBA player. Yeah. He's an NBA player right now.
I would agree.
He is a backup point guard in this league.
Yep.
Yeah, but
you're getting him on a price that's remember Tyus and how much you were paying him and how we said you can't keep doing this. This is what you need, a cheap backup point guard option.
He won't be able to make the shots that Tyus made, though, I don't believe. He's not the shooter. The time.
Well, and he's not. Tyus has what led the league in turnover to assist ratio like 18 straight years or something. Mm-hmm. Like he's not going to be as efficient. But look what you were paying Tyus too. Mm-hmm. You got this guy on two.
Yeah, that's true.
He's perfectly capable. And in the playoffs, you do not play your backup point guard, and that's why Tyus was expendable. That's why you had to move on.
Right.
Especially at that price.
Right. Fair enough.
What you had to pay the big boys.
Fair enough. We'll talk to Jessica Benson about this. Get her thoughts on what her takeaways from summer league are. And more. Also, she's back. She's back from her voyage from
Las Vegas. God bless her, man. My wife's not back yet. Folks are caught in a glitch, man. Did you hear Fishman's? It's real. I'm glad Jessica got through.
Yep. So we'll talk about all of that and more with Jessica Benson on the other side. Stick around. Jason and John, iTurn FM, ESPN.
Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas.
How I wish that there were more than the 24.
Jessica Benson is home. She finally made it back. Got her Hertz car all the way back from Las Vegas. Long trip. And she joins us now against all odds. How long is that that trip in totality, Jessica?
22 hours, which ended up being 22.5 because we took one bad exit where we were unable to turn around from the exit and had to go on a nice little 30-minute detour through Henrietta, Oklahoma. But 22 and a half, we made it. We're back.
Damn. So, I mean, that's just the beauty of it, right? Like, you guys just decided we're not going to get a flight out of here. Let's just get back now as soon as, like, take me through the Chris and Jess calculations here.
So we were on different flights out of Las Vegas and both got canceled pretty succinctly. And the options were to either stay in Vegas with no hotel room. And, you know, I'm sure the Grizzlies would have been very nice in helping me figure it out. But Chris had to take PTO for every single day that he was gone. And the earliest that Delta could begin trying to start to rebook us was Wednesday. And my mom was a flight attendant. I'm very equipped at troubleshooting flight issues in real time. And I just went into hyper mode and I saw the writing on the wall and I said, I think this is going to be bad for a couple of days. And so immediately looked up the distance from Las Vegas to Memphis. Said if we can get a rental car, we should get one before they're all sold out, which seems to be pretty good forward thinking on my part. We ended up with one of the last cars out of Las Vegas. I know Atlanta is miserable right now. There's no cars there. There's no cars in Minneapolis. And we decided to just drive. We had some things we wanted to be home for here on Tuesday, aside from work, appointments, some medication that needed to get picked up. And so we just put our eyes on the road and did 8 hours from Las Vegas to Albuquerque following the Grizzlies semifinal win on Sunday, and then got about 6 hours of sleep in Albuquerque and got on the road in the middle of my show yesterday morning and got to Memphis. Got to the Memphis airport at 11:30 p.m. to drop off the rental car, pick up our car, and got home at midnight.
So it's so good. I listen to that and I think about how good it is that Chris has you and the forward thinker that you are. Because if you do not have someone that has been through those things or is a regular traveler, like my wife, who right now is still stuck in Chattanooga, man, it can be overwhelming. Like, you're sitting there thinking about the rental car before the rush happens, and so you're on top of it. But the folks who haven't been through it and don't have somebody right beside them to tell them, hey, we need to be on this, she's been overwhelmed, had breakdowns, everything about her flights getting canceled, everything else. We're hoping to get her back today. But to your point, if you're not sort of prepared for what, you know, can happen, haven't been through a couple of those, it can really be overwhelming. And it sounds like it really in Atlanta right now, where people are on the floors of that airport, that it has been for so many.
Oh yeah,
it's
mean,
crazy.
And it's one of those things where, like, until you've lived through it and had to, like, force yourself to adapt, it's impossible to know how to handle it your first response is going to be, I need to talk to somebody.
And
so even everything started, I sent Chris to the Las Vegas airport. It was around 7 a.m. on Sunday when his got canceled. I said, you need to get to the Las Vegas airport immediately. And I always use Twitter as a resource, too. So I quickly searched Delta, saw people were experiencing long waits on the customer service line. So I just said, get to the airport, get in front of a person. That's your best bet. At that point, I didn't realize they were still going to be canceling. I think there are over 5,000 flights over the last 4 days at this point. But at that point, there was still some hope where, like, maybe a human being can work some magic and get you on a flight later. He ended up standing in line for 2 hours at the Las Vegas airport. My flight was canceled pretty quickly after that. I get on the customer service line back at the hotel. I'm trying to get ready for the Grizzlies game. I was on hold for 3 hours. I never talked to a person. I eventually got the text, like the text system that they have. I was in like a holding pattern with them for about 4 hours. Finally heard from them. Finally just asked, like, I don't want to be rebooked. I want to get a refund so I can use it towards a rental car. They originally tried to push back and said, we can only give you e-credit. I said, given the circumstances, I would really hope to be able to get a full refund in this situation. It's under review. I'm assuming they're going to have to give refunds, so I just operated on a prayer there.
Yep.
But it's, like, Chris looked at me on our drive home yesterday. He goes, I'm just so happy to have you. And seriously. And it's not a position that I love to be in, but even just knowing, like, my biggest tips for people are, if it looks like it's going to be, and you can never predict something like this, right? Like, we haven't seen this kind of an effect. I know there was a huge storm that hurt Southwest Airlines maybe a year or two ago, and yeah, they went through it pretty bad. But you never know if it's going to be this bad. But if you think it might be, you can always try to rent a car. It's not, it's never preferable. You never want to drive. You were flying for a reason. But try to rent a car. And then also, if you're on a flight and, like, one of your connections gets canceled, always sign up for the Wi-Fi so you know what's happening, and immediately get to work in trying to steal a seat on another flight, because it just becomes a game of who can operate the quickest to try to take these seats.
Yeah. Like, got to be a forward thinker.
It's so relative, though, right? Like, because if I was in your situation and I had my two kids under three, there's no world where I'm driving. Absolutely no chance. Like, I will wait this out.
Yeah.
We will spend 2 weeks in Vegas if we have to.
I would not have done it by myself. I would never have done it by myself either, right? Like, I cannot imagine driving 22 hours solo. It only works because we could switch off on the drive.
Even by the last three hours of that drive last night,
it was delirium central. Like, watching the Grizzlies game in the car, and Chris was nice enough to drive that portion, so I'm watching it. That gave a nice, like, boost of energy. But we still had about 3 hours at the end of that game, and then there was nothing to look forward to. And all of a sudden, it kind of hits you and compounds. Like, I have not stopped to truly think in over 48 hours. And it's daunting for sure. I'm so grateful to be home. And if you want to feel other people's misery, just search Delta in the search bar on Twitter, on TikTok, on Instagram, and the videos will just make you be happy to be anywhere but the Atlanta airport
now, or Las Vegas. It's an effort that the Summer League Grizzlies certainly would and should be proud of, the way that you're sort of going all out here, you know, and leaving.
I was inspired by Coach Martz.
Yes.
I was inspired by the intensity of
this.
Jason
is the
Martz.
First day of the rest of your life. You know, like,
they tried to win it,
like,
for Jess.
I'm getting those vibes for sure. Like, like the Al Pacino speech he gave at halftime, right? Like, the difference between winning and losing and living and. But at any rate, they fall short. But there were a lot of good things that came out of this, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, being around that team. I was listening to your first segment, and I understand it's summer league, but being around that group, they cared a lot. Well,
thank you. Will you please explain that to John?
He has a problem with that, Jess.
Please put him in
but
his place.
It was fun to see them care because otherwise, what are you doing this for, right? I mean, like, if you make it to the championship game, you play for the dang championship. You don't just sacrifice an extra day. And I would assume some of their travel is maybe interrupted trying to get home, too. So now you hope that you don't lose the championship and get stranded by Delta. I don't know. Not everybody chose to fly Delta out of Las Vegas. It proved to be not a fun decision for me and some others. Maybe they got on a Spirit airline flight. For once, it probably was better and more beneficial to fly Spirit or Frontier. But if you're there, you want to win. And I think it speaks to those players, too. Like, they are not built to compete in a competitive environment and not play to win. Like, Gigi Jackson, Coach Martz told me, he asked to keep playing. There's a reason why he didn't miss a game. He wanted to play. Scottie Pippen Jr. wanted to play. Jake LaRavia wanted to come back and play.
I know, but that's where you got to be like, you know, We don't want you to play.
Well, but then, okay, but ultimately, in terms of like saving guys from themselves, I bet Zach Edey wanted to play too. I never had the opportunity to talk to him because I would have spoken to him after the game he came back from, and then he got injured, and we never talked to players after an injury in the middle of a game. But you could tell just like by osmosis, watching him sit on the sideline, he was itching. He would have gone back into that game, not even in the semifinals or the championship game, if he could have. And that speaks to just the mentality of some of these guys. And I think that's what you ultimately want from anybody who is playing for your organization, is somebody who sees an opportunity. If there is a game to be won, they're going to play to win. And Jason March's approach to this summer league experience, as he told me, was if we're meeting our individual goals, then we're by nature meeting our team goals, because this team is so experienced and has so much talent on it that if our players are developing in the way that we anticipate and hope for in summer league, we're going to win games and we're going to make it to the championship game. And they did, and came up just overtime and an Elam ending short.
Was the JB summer league MVP for the Grizzlies Gigi or Scottie Pippen Jr.?
Scottie Pippen Jr. He was so good. I mean, the fact that we're having the conversation of, well, could he be the actual backup point guard for the Grizzlies long term? Speaks to, you know, the performance that he put on. It's what he's able to do offensively, but I think it's the defense that stands out and how he led this Grizzlies defensive unit throughout summer league. A time period where nobody really takes a whole lot of pride in defense, and the Grizzlies kind of put it to the test right there in the beginning in Vegas and said, you know, we're going to be a team that plays defense, and Scottie Pippen Jr. was a huge part of that. But you see the potential that he could have in being impactful with a positional need. Obviously, your point guard is John Morant, so option A is always going to be Ja, but it is entirely beneficial to have a really solid backup. We saw it with the play of Tyus Jones prior to his departure. We know that Derrick Rose intends to start the season as the Grizzlies' backup point guard, but how many games that consists of, what the long-term trajectory looks like, it's always a positive when you have somebody in your system currently on a two-way contract who looks like they could be the answer.
Talking to Jessica Benson, host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt on Grind City Media. Nice to have her back in Memphis. You know, it's interesting. Memphis football becomes they are projected and picked to win the AAC. I think this might be the first time.
Yes, it's the first time in the AAC.
First time. And so now what accompanies that, of course, is expectations, right? So I would ask, is the program ready for the expectations that are going to accompany this moment?
Expectations are always a scary thing, but the AAC is a less scary place than maybe it's been in the last couple of years. I didn't realize it was their first time being picked to win the conference. Who was picked to win the year that they went to the Cotton Bowl? Do you know?
Would it be UCF or something like that?
UCF, yeah, I guess. Cincinnati, maybe. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, you get Seth Hennigan back.
Yeah, it was UCF.
Players there. You're building on, you know, last season and again going to another bowl game last year. Memphis is the premier football program in the AAC right now. It's Memphis and Tulane. And I know UCSA was picked to finish second in the American, but if you think of American football, you're probably thinking of Memphis and Tulane as being the two schools that should and could compete for that group of five spot in the college football playoff. So with expectations rising, there's going to be more attention. There is less room for error in the overall perception of how a season is billed as a success. But by all means, Memphis looks, and their schedule looks to facilitate them at least attempting to turn that into a reality.
I just wonder what's the proper investment level? Maybe that's the right way to ask it. But in terms of this season meaning more, if you can win the AAC and get that college football playoff appearance or just be in the mix, in terms of, you know, what it means in your image as an athletic department, as a program. We saw what Cincinnati did in terms of striking while the iron was hot, and it helped them get pulled up. You can't argue that it didn't. Like, it just aligned. Are you, you know, how much hope should we have? Should we just enjoy the moment, Jess, and the wins that come when we focus on AAC title, or should we really hope that maybe Memphis can, if you can put yourself out there and prove that you're the best thing in the group of five this year, that maybe it can make a difference in terms of trying to prove to the ones above you that you belong?
My opinion has always been that you have to hope. and you have to care. And that's, you know, in a sense, it's unfair to Memphis football because the stakes are higher than just the season at hand, right? But when it comes down to, you know, the race of what is the end game of conference realignment going to look like? What is the state of college football going to look like in a couple years from now, and maybe sooner rather than later? And if there are schools that ultimately get left out of the bigger grouping of teams playing at a certain level, if you're the University of Memphis, it is of just the most critical thing in the world to not be one of those schools left behind. So if you can ride the momentum of being a Group of Five team, you feel as if they are to be the Group of Five representative in the college football playoff, certainly they won't get left out. Certainly they can't get left out. If you create the immediate resume of what that would look like, and you look back, and the trip to the Cotton Bowl was great, but then COVID happens, and the attention of it just turns things so quickly that you couldn't really maybe ride that wave as well as you could have in different circumstances. Now you have another opportunity ahead of you, and it would obviously benefit Memphis in the utmost way if they could capitalize on that and use it to catapult them into whatever this mix is of, okay, we're looking at schools X, Y, and Z. Here's why Memphis is the better choice.
I want to get your thoughts on some women's Olympic matters here as our Olympic team loses to everybody else in the WNBA All-Star game. And I want to focus in specifically on Cheryl Reeve and how potentially problematic her approach to Caitlin Clark is. I don't know if you've seen some of the things that she's said or not said about Caitlin, but as it relates to her specifically, it feels like Cheryl is really trying to hold Caitlin down in a way that you just don't see in any other, United States Olympic basketball, men, women, whatever. Have you noticed this? And how problematic is it that her approach to Caitlin is what it is?
Well, I've noticed it mostly on social media, right? It's kind of become a Cheryl Reeve versus Caitlin Clark narrative. And thus far, Cheryl Reeve has been on the losing end of that narrative based on how Caitlin Clark has been able to perform. I don't know if it's rooted in anything. I mean, we look at the drama with the USA men's basketball situation, the USA women's basketball situation. There's always going to be so many politics at play here. But ultimately, like, my biggest takeaway is when the U.S. women's Olympic roster came out, to me it made perfect sense at that time that Caitlin Clark was not on that roster. Now today, it is being a big enough person to come back and say, I was wrong. Caitlin Clark should be on that Olympic roster. And it's because of her play, and you can't, you can never project the future, but you could have read the tea leaves and said, no, listen, like, I think it's worth taking the risk of her not even performing at the level that she has over these last couple of weeks and understanding, to ride the moment and have her be a part of the Olympic experience of women's basketball. For Caitlin, I'm thrilled that she gets a break because it has been go, 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 go. And I'm sure for her and the other rookies, like, just giving your body a break and a chance to start coming back for the end of the WNBA season. But it is an interesting, everything always gets made into a fight. We love drama. And Olympic drama is all we have now at this point in the summer sports schedule.
Why are we having so much drama with our men's team and LeBron is having to come and save us at 39 years old?
Well, if you ride in a car with my husband, Chris Luther, big old Golden State Warriors fan for 22 hours over the last 2 days, he would love to give you a monologue on Steve Kerr.
Yeah, I don't like him either, so I'm kind of with Chris. Is it?
He would tell you, he's Warriors fans have been about this life for the last couple of years in not understanding some of Steve Kerr's coaching decisions. Listen, he's been able to rest with the Warriors on Steph Curry. Steph Curry has saved him and that team from maybe some more disappointing outcomes along the way. I think it helps elevate Steph Curry's ultimate legacy if more people realize, like, hey, he was doing this in spite of, at times, the team maybe working in ways against him. Now you have a player like LeBron James, who in the game against Germany yesterday is able to take over. So you can rest so much on talent, but unfortunately, as we've discussed, like, the world keeps catching up. And so you look at teams like a Canada, a France, a Germany, even a Serbia, who will be in the Team USA like group pool session, and we saw USA take care of them much better than they were able to take care of South Sudan throughout their pre-Olympic schedule. But It is an odd feeling going into the Olympics, not feeling overwhelmingly confident about this team in spite of it being full of, you know, Hall of Fame NBA, completely full of future Hall of Fame NBA players.
Yeah, no doubt. Jessica, you're the best. Welcome
back. So glad
back.
You're back.
Thanks for the time, as always.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
Yep.
Thank
she
you.
Is Jessica Benson, Grind City Media. Man, what a... What a nightmare that is. I just can't even fathom the making that decision. I couldn't. I'd have to just park it in Vegas with the kids.
She said something that I want to touch on with you.
Okay.
I really liked.
And it better not be about the Summer League Grizzlies.
No, it was about Memphis football.
Okay.
She said, and answered my question about the whole, you know, hoping to get pulled up and how much Memphis football can have to do with that. She said it's unfair to put that on them. And she's absolutely right that it is unfair, like, to, you know what I mean, to put it on a football team and a season and hope that, you know, this can help in terms of, you know, rebranding Memphis as the best thing in the Group of Five and what that could do for you if the ACC explodes, whatever else, could you get pulled up. It's unfair, but it and she's absolutely, I love the way she put that, but that has always been that athletic department's story. It's never been fair for Memphis, right? And it's unfortunate that we would put that much, and it may not make a hill of beans difference in the end. Even if you had your best season ever, they may still tell you, Memphis, you're not good enough. We've seen it so many times. But my point is, it does feel like there's an opportunity here. Again, I would say to rebrand, because at one point it felt like you were that, and there's an opportunity to get back to that best out of best in the Group of Five. What it could do for your chances to get pulled up, what it could do for the whole athletic department, maybe the school. That's unfair to put on Ryan Silverfield's players, but that's the way it's been for Memphis forever. And so I think we have to accept it, that it's that important, you know, that you have that season. And you, I mean, it's just more reason to go over there and, you know, support those guys and hope that, you know, all these that the media's got it right, that you finish one and you're in the mix. Cuz you cannot deny that it helped Cincinnati. You know,
yep.
Being as national a program, having looked the right
UCF.
Time, it certainly did. It helped those guys. And if you can have it, you need, you know, great football in terms of you check that box. You need to have it. And there is that opportunity this year, in this first year that you're picked to win the AAC. You know, and is it unfair? Yes. But that's the way it is around here. So you got to go. Yeah, I mean, that's, again, it's we're used to that. So. You know, it makes it more exciting. It does.
Yes. No, there's no doubt about that.
But it is more pressure.
And look, I think you're right. Like, do you think people are putting it on Memphis football to get them the key? I mean, I think, you know, if you are doing that, you're totally, you know, misguided, because it's not up to them. I mean, Memphis football has been good in the past.
Again, it's about having it if you can.
Right.
It's about being the best while you can. No, is that the thing that puts you over necessarily? No. And we've said so many things don't put you over. Ownership of a renovated Simmons Bank now doesn't put you over, but it's another box to check.
Right.
And if you have got a great nationally recognized brand of football, that's a strong big box to check that since he did, UCF did, you want to have it checked too if you can. And because of the way things are set up, because of the NIL you're getting from FedEx now, the ability to keep Seth Hennigan's, to go get Elijah Herrings and Mario Anderson's, you got to strike. And it is. It's a credit to Ryan that you put it in this position right now to do it. Now you got to go. You got to go drop the hammer.
Yes. But, you know.
Because everybody, as you said, to start the show, everybody's expecting you to now.
That's right.
This is the expectation now.
You were picked first. First time ever.
I'm telling you, it's going to be sneaky, because your three toughest AAC games are all on the road.
It's different.
So now you got to win those road games.
Yeah, exactly, because I was hosting BetMGM Tonight last night, and we had a college football guy on who I asked him the question, who's the Group of Five team most likely to represent in the playoff? And he said, I wanted to say Memphis, but I can't because their schedule.
I think it's the reason Phil Steele didn't pick them to win the AAC.
Yeah.
Because the three toughest AAC games are on the road.
Right. Tough. Now, they have the roster to do it, but they were the overwhelming favorite in this. It wasn't even close, right? I mean, so this is new air for the University of Memphis football program, and we'll talk about that when we get back. Stick around. Jason and John, Adi Charnafam, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.